All right, welcome to Look at My Records. Very thrilled to have Vanessa Silberman here with me today. How are you?
Good. Stoked to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming, and welcome to New York. You're living here now. You're originally from Los Angeles. Transplant. How do you like it here so far?
I love it. I love the energy. It's super inspiring. I just wanted kind of a change. I still travel a lot, for music and touring and work, music work. But I've spent quite a bit of time in New York before. So, you know, every time I've come here, it's kind of, I don't know, you know, man, it'd be so cool to live in New York. You're closer to Europe and there's such an energy you kind of can't explain. But I'm digging it. Very, very new and different too from LA.
Yeah, I think you're vibing with New York so far, and New York's happy to have you here. I've really been diving into your music, but you're so much more than just a musician, though. You have an extensive background, and you're kind of a jack of all trades. You work in the music business as well. Tell me about your start in music, though, how you first got started.
I moved to Los Angeles in my late teens, and I went to music school for a very, very small period of time, and I just kind of thought, well, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, do my band thing, but in the meantime, until I make money doing that, I'll get a job in the music business. And, you know, before I even got there, I was just reading every kind of book I could about it and learning about songwriting and stuff. I grew up on Kauai.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. You grew up in Hawaii until your late teens?
I was there in until like kind of the beginning of high school, and then I moved to the Bay Area. But growing up there was kind of like a real pivotal point because I didn't have TV or radio, and I really discovered music there through like Columbia, 10 CDs for a penny, and like, you know, getting magazines or VHSs from friends, or, you know, just very organic stuff. And that's really where I like was able to kind of seek out, you know, different artists and discover a lot of stuff. So I think that, you know, before having any idea of what bands looked like, I could kind of only imagine. And before I ever played guitar, when I heard bands from Seattle, I was just like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, what was that like to not have a huge exposure to, I guess, music like that, and then to suddenly discover it? It must have been mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was totally mind-blowing. And I think the minute I heard Nirvana, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I have no idea what these guys look like, but this is so amazing. And like, I just felt so connected to like being an artist at a very, very young age and said, like, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know how. I'm in the middle of an island. Like, you know, it takes half hour, 45 minutes to get a gas station. And, you know, I don't know how, but I'm going to go play music. And yeah.
And when did you start first writing your own songs? Around that time, or?
Yeah, my dad's friend was a construction worker, and he was helping out at our house, and he had an extra guitar. He heard that I was really into music, and he's like, hey, you know what? I've got this hammer guitar and an amp laying, you know, in my house, and it's not being used. You want to check it out? And I was like, oh my God, yeah. So I learned on electric guitar, and I really had absolutely no idea how to play it, and I constantly got, turn that down.
So you're self-taught at first, like a lot of people, right?
Yeah, I definitely felt my way around it very organically, and then I got like a few lessons. There was one fellow on the island who like taught lessons kind of close by, you know, a lot of Hawaiian music. And I remember bringing him songs and he's like, oh my God, this is so loud. Like, so it was just such a different culture from, you know, Hawaii and all that. But I mean, it's just so interesting, just, I guess, the way I discovered it. Like, my parents didn't play at all. And Hawaii was like an early adapter to the internet. So when I discovered the internet, you know, you could download songs from these secret sites, like, you know, that Geffen Records and different labels didn't know about at the wow. time. And it would take like 24 hours to download a song. And then I'd take my tape recorder and like record the song. So I'd have them on tape. And
do you remember some of the early songs you downloaded through that medium?
Yeah, like a lot of Nirvana stuff, Hole, Sonic Youth, anything.
Cool. It's yeah. amazing. Yeah.
And yeah, that was really definitely, I feel like I kind of discovered stuff a little lopsidedly than maybe most people because of where I lived.
It's really interesting, and it's a fun origin story, definitely. I remember, like, the first time I ever heard Sonic Youth was blown away, too, so it must have been really something else.
Totally. I like, the first time I ever heard them actually was this on this VHS tape. There was this compilation video called The Year
Punk Broke. Yeah, great.
And seriously, I discovered so many bands through that.
Nirvana.
And
was yeah. when they went on that tour, right? Nirvana was yeah. relatively unknown.
Completely.
In Europe, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Or, like, you know, I had two friends or maybe two, three friends who had MTV at the time. And, oh, my God, when I would go over their house, it would be, like, up till 4 or 5 in the morning. Like, oh, my God, what is this music videos? And, like, it was just like, whoa.
It's very cool. So tell me, so then you kind of moved to mainland United States. When did you transition from music is a passion and hobby to really doing it professionally? When did that first start for you?
Probably when I was in school, because while I was, you know, writing and doing my music and developing, I had a band early on called Diamonds Under Fire. And while I was doing that, I was learning about the business, and I could get credits at school for you know, my music business course. And so I was like, well, this is great. I'm going to take advantage of this and I'm going to intern everywhere I can. So I actually, I interned right away at Steve Vai, there's a guitar player who had a record label. Yeah. And I interned at Epitaph Records. And I interned at Warner Chappell Publishing in the A&R department. So all of these were kind of right around the same time. And at the time, I immediately got, as soon as I was done with school, hired at Epitaph Records. And I did what they called viral marketing, which is today what people, you know, marketing for Instagram and Facebook. But at the time, we'll go into chat rooms and just talk to kids about records.
About a new Bad Religion record or
yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah,
totally. At the time, there was the anti-label, too, and they put out Elliott Smith's record and all, you know, Burning Heart stuff. I mean, it was just so cool because I was such a fan and I was just talking to other fans about the records.
So at that time when you were really in the professional working music realm, were you still writing a lot of songs and touring as a musician regularly?
Or I was writing a lot and I was starting to play out. And I didn't end up touring till maybe a few years after that, because it took me a while to kind of develop my chops as an artist and, like, you know, kind of try and meet the right people to play with. And you know, at the time I had a few people would come in the picture to help out, you know, someone who wanted to manage me and kind of help mentor, and then started touring. Yeah, I mean, I started working and making money in the business before I was, you know, 21.
Interesting, really interesting, because I feel like I know a lot of musicians that are just purely, like, don't work in the industry and stuff like that. Did you feel like you learned a lot of important lessons from working in music that you can apply to being a musician as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff just ended up happening by kind of default of like, okay, I don't have enough money to pay for a website. So I'm going to just like learn how to HTML code and like, you know,
very
the whole,
DIY. Yeah,
totally. And yeah. It was kind of ironic interning at like Epitaph Records or and then getting a job there or like some of these other companies. But like a lot of this stuff was just like, okay, I need to figure out how to do this. And then I would end up, you know, kind of getting work from knowing how to do a certain skill. And so I've had almost every kind of job you can think of in the business. So I've just applied it to myself, working with other artists, you know, being an engineer and producer, having the perspective of, you know, being able to see ahead and plan or knowing what an artist needs, being an artist, or how to communicate better and really understand and listen.
Yeah, you do so much. I feel like I have so many questions. This interview could go for a while. So when did you start engineering and producing other artists, since you also do that too?
Yeah. I would say, seriously, as a career, in like 2012, I was recording demos with a producer engineer named John Lusto, and he was the in-house producer at Studio 606, the Foo Fighters studio. And I feel super blessed. I got the opportunity to, he kind of mentored me and taught me, you know, how to record through consoles and patching. And I kind of learned how to do Pro Tools and learn about the studio environment before, because I'd worked at a few studios. I was an assistant to Dr. Luke, and I worked for quite a few people, but it wasn't till really it's like I was soaking up a lot of information, learning a lot, doing a lot of different jobs. And then, you know, when I started working at 606 as the assistant engineer, that's when I like kind of just really jumped in and like really started learning and getting hired to do stuff.
Awesome. And you also have an artist development company as well?
Yeah, I have an artist development label that specializes in developing artists kind of before their next step. My main focus is engineering, producing, songwriting. Once in a while and more in the past, I would do a lot of art for bands or artists, for radio companies. I work with pretty hands-on with bands and artists who, let's say, I record, and I have a distribution deal for the label. So it's kind of, you know, I've kind of worn every single hat.
Yeah, definitely.
Some stuff I just won't, you know, I've done tons of booking or, you know, writing bios, PR, and a lot of this just ends up being because I have so much experience doing it, and a band or artist needs help doing it, and let's say they're not hiring someone to go to radio or hire a PR person, so I end up showing them how to do this, how to set up their songs through a songwriter society, you know, you name it. It's just kind of, it's like helping. It's like, more of a hands-on, old school type manager label, but with a new school mentality, and it's just happens to be like what I do.
Yeah, you must be very busy, I have to say.
Yeah, honestly, it's so funny. This is the first time in quite a few years when I haven't been on tour. You know, I've been doing just a couple of shows and kind of just really, not necessarily taking a break, but playing, but focusing on writing and kind of recouping. Because for about 3-4 years, I was just on tour. I didn't have a home. I was going from tour to tour to tour to recording, jumping around everywhere. All around the U.S. And it didn't allow for time for anything, you know, myself included. And That life can be super fulfilling, but also very hard.
Yeah, it's got to take a toll on you for sure.
Yeah, so.
So I do want to talk about, you've released two singles this year, right?
Yeah.
Love, and the other one is called I Got a Reason. Tell us a little bit about these songs. Do you have any other singles on the way as well that you've been writing?
Yeah, actually, so those two singles are from an EP that's coming out in September, actually September 20th. These are some songs that I did with my friends, Reed Mullen, who's from the band Corrosion of Conformity.
Wow, awesome.
And my friend, our friend Michael Ross, and then Lou, my old mentor and his assistant, helped mix it, and I have another friend, Jet, who mastered it, and it's the songs that I've been, you know, touring on for the last few years that really, the recording is very raw, but all have like very purposed messages and a lot about my whole thing, which is a lot of giving people hope and positivity through music.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that in the songs. And so since you do a lot of producing and engineering, do you self-produce your own songs, or do you like to have someone come in to maybe have another ear or help you out?
You know what? I do. And a lot of like part of my whole solo project and records and releases is collaborating. More recently, I've been doing demos and recording everything on my own. But with this recording, like for example, Don't, the recording, me and Reed, when we were tracking, I was running into the control room, pressing record and running back and playing. And, you know, and then, and my friend Michael helped out. So, and, you know, it's really nice to have also, you know, another perspective too, like having someone mix it, like where it's like, I'm, you know, I know my vocals, or I like to track my vocals a lot myself, but it's also very helpful to have some outside perspective or someone else mix it or just have a second ear. Like I'll often, you know, ask really close friends or, you know, people who just, you know, hey, can you check this out? Because when you're tracking everything, recording everything so close to something and mixing everything, it's just hard to get an accurate perspective.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I've worked so many hours on this, I need to just get away from this.
And how about your approach to songwriting? Is it kind of something you do very much on your own, or do you like to collaborate, maybe bounce ideas off of people?
I do actually a lot of co-writing on the business side with a lot of artists, and I really enjoy it. For my music, like the lyrics are always, you know, something that I write, unless it's a collaboration. On my first EP, I had an artist who was part of my label. His name's Derek. And there was a song that I wanted to do, and I had heard him rap in a rehearsal with his band, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I was like, I want to do a collaboration with you. So that was one of these situations where it was like a co-write, and it was just perfect for what it was. And so I enjoy both. And I think it's really nice to, you know, when the timing's right, bring in other people or have just, you know, a different perspective and grow. Actually, before, when I was a very younger artist, I was very closed-minded about music and, you know, just very precious with stuff. And I think working and engineering and producing and working with so many people, I just opened up a lot more over the years, and I really enjoy it. It can be really magical.
Very cool. And do you have any live shows? You have live shows coming up, right?
Yeah.
What's the setup like when you play live, since you're a solo artist? Do you usually play by yourself, or do you play with a backing band?
All different scenarios. I've had a lot of different friends who I tour with back me. Reed and Michael have backed me for a couple tours. I toured solo a lot by myself, as well as with another artist from Boston, Carissa Johnson. And then I've had various friends back me. you know, for just different tours as like a three piece or a two piece. Coming up for my EP release, I'm doing this really exciting collaboration with Modern Vice Boots, who's presenting it, and a couple local of my favorite bands and artists, Shark Muffin.
They're awesome.
A Deer Horse.
They're also awesome. And, both managed by my friend Randy, who I've had
Randy's
on the show.
Randy's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then an artist who I love, Christine Young.
Cool. I'll have to check her out. She's, that's the only one I don't know.
She's amazing. And this is going to be more of a stripped down thing. And then I'm doing some shows coming up. My friend Ryan Carnes is playing drums for me. And so I have a ton of different friends. And touring, you know, making, you know, a living touring, I feel like when it's in a DIY kind of setting, you know, where you're funding it and building it yourself, you end up kind of doing all different kinds of stuff. I mean, I would do solo tours and then meet a drummer 30 seconds before I'm about to play and like be like, hey, you want to play on this song?
And just keep a beat.
Yeah, and literally that's what would happen. And you know what? That has been super exciting. You know, I'll meet bands or come through on tour, you know, a few different times. Like I had a friend, Dave Bonson from Madison, who toured with me a bunch, but the way I met him was through Christine, and he was a booker, and he was like, hey, anytime you come through, I'll play with you. So I've had a lot of friends like this who I've developed, who I really appreciate, and it allows me to connect with the community.
Awesome. It's very cool. Everything you're doing is awesome, and it's so great to hear your very unique and interesting story. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
And so you're going to play a couple of songs here live. What songs are you going to play? And tell us a little bit about the songs you're going to play.
I'm going to play Love. That's my most recent single.
Great song.
Yeah, and that song is really, if you've ever broken up, had heartbreak, you know, felt like you're never going to find love, this song is about reassuring you that it's out there and to not lose faith and to have some hope and, you know, that it can, you know, find you. And it's also a mix of, you know, lyrics play on some interesting Hollywood stuff and, you know, some experiences I've had. And yeah. And I Got a Reason is all about developing and growing, I think, as an artist and a person, because when you're younger, you haven't really gone through a lot. And it's not until you really go through a lot that it gives you a reason to do things in life, you know. And I feel like it took me a while as an artist. Like I had to go through a lot and really find, like, without people telling me, hey, this is how it is, I had to go discover that for myself. And you know, getting by being an artist and making a living as a touring artist, you know, if you've ever done that for a few years and slept on floors and, you know, just tried to figure it all out, you know, and sacrificed a lot to do it because of music and love, you know, that'll give you a reason to do it, you know, or quitting your job. So many people go through that. Yeah. And it's about giving people courage to like follow their heart, whatever.
That wonderful.
Is. Yeah.
And then one more, you got one more song?
I'm going to play Don't, my next single. And Don't is
very
purely
exciting, yeah.
A loud song that to me really stands for everything that I've done and do as far as me as a person connecting with other people, especially on tour. This is Don't's a song that for me really is translated live really well, and I often have you know, collaborated with tons of different drummers from around the country who've played on this song. And it's just seriously just all about fun and just connecting with the audience and people for this. is all about energy.
Amazing. I'm so thrilled that you're performing live here. It's always a treat to see someone play live here. And here we go. Vanessa, take it away.
I'm Vanessa Silverman, and this song's called Love.
Love and pain, like a crazy train, when a golden chain, rich and racy, but it don't faze me. Hollywood fame, like a hurricane, rushing through my veins, somewhat hazy, hang with Jay-Z, nice to faith in the heart. Love can find you. Love can find you. Love can find you now to believe in. Love can find you. Love can find you. Love can find you now. Still believe in love.
This one's called I Got a Reason.
Been in love, lost some friends, had to re-begin. Failed school, but got a future, don't need to change my plan. Quit my job, driving roads, it's why, give a damn. Got a reason. Starving. songs just to save my life. Got the will, get it right. Well, I'll sleep tonight. Got a reason, got a reason, got a reason to sing. Got a reason, got a reason, got a reason to sing. I've been at peace, sweet relief, standing in the sun. Paved my way, triumphant day, new life has begun. Moving fast, got a past, but I'm not looking back. Got a reason, got a reason, got a reason to sing. Got a reason, got a reason, got a reason to sing. Got a reason, got a reason, got a reason to sing. Got a reason, I got a reason, I got a reason to sing.
Great.
Thank you. This last one's called Don't.
This isn't a tragedy. Where's my comedy? Saying it in my mind. Gonna know friends of mine. Feel it in my to my sorrow. Don't get close to me, too close with my enemy. Lost all my sympathy, I'm a hate for you and me. No matter what they say, words won't get in our way. Confrontation will never lose affection. We feel it in our mouth, but it's to our sorrow. Don't get close to me, too close with my enemy. Lost all my sympathy, I'm a hate for you and me. This isn't a tragedy. Where's my comedy? Saying it in my mind. Gonna know friends of mine. Feel it in my mouth. Burn it to my sorrow. Don't get close to me. Too close with my enemy. Lost all my sympathy. I'm the hate for you and me. Don't get close to 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 me.
All right, we're back. Vanessa, thank you so much for playing those three wonderful songs live right here. We heard your latest single, Love, I Got a Reason, and Don't. And all three of those songs are on your forthcoming EP, or?
It's my second EP. I have a few singles that came out between the last one. This is the first official announcement of those dates.
Cool.
So,
off of the forthcoming second EP by Vanessa Silberman. Can't wait to hear the rest of the songs. And now we're transitioning to the second portion of the program where you picked some records from my record collection.
Which, by the way, It was like, you were like, pick four. I'm like, man, this is so hard. Yeah, it was really hard. I was like, all right, I just got to pick.
Okay, first up, The Breeders, Invisible Man, probably my favorite song on that record. What's that record called again?
Oh, gosh, Last Splash.
It's okay. We could edit this out. So.
Yeah, it is okay. Last Splash.
So first pick, Last Splash by The Breeders, and you picked Invisible Man. Was that one of the early bands you heard in Hawaii, possibly?
It's like one of those bands, like growing up and like my early, let's say, influences, there was only like kind of only a few female, you know, fronted bands. It was like The Breeders, L7, and Hole, and then like some of the other smaller Seattle bands. But I was so far away that I wasn't really able to discover some of those till later on. But just kind of growing up and stuff, I'd often kind of get compared, oh, you know, like kind of sound a little bit like The Breeders. And to me, like, it was a prime example of a, you know, an amazing, like, you know, female-fronted bands, you know, coming from the Pixies, too, that were successful. So, and they had, like, commercial-sounding songs.
Yeah.
So, for me, I thought, like, I was like, this is so cool and was a very big influence on me and inspiration. And a couple of years ago, I opened up for Kelly's other bands.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which was super cool. But they really helped, you know, they were one of those bands that really helped, you know, set the bar and tone.
And it's interesting because you at first identified like Nirvana and Sonic Youth. The Breeders, they're similar, but like kind of like not as dark, at least some of the stuff.
Totally.
So were you immediately drawn to their sound as something different sounding back in the day, or?
I think it probably more of a later thing, and I would hear their name.
Yeah.
Their name would come up. So it wasn't until like a little bit later that I like really kind of dove into that. I feel like I even heard them before I ever heard the Pixies, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really cool. I had a chance, one of the jobs that I had, I worked for a friend who was the marketing manager at Atlantic Records when that record was put out. I think it was Atlantic. And, you know, she was kind of telling me about it. So it was really cool. I think a lot of women were kind of involved in, you know, that record. And yeah, I mean, it's totally cool. I mean, I would say, like, some of their lyrics are probably more quirky or not so as dark or something.
Or grungy sounding.
Yeah.
Compared to the Seattle bands of that era.
Totally. But I think I really liked it because it was like, okay, cool, there's still some sort of like rawness or edge to it, but it's commercial.
Yeah.
And I was always like, I felt always more, like I was always after the song. Like I wanted a chorus to hang on to.
Yeah.
Like with Nirvana, that's easy.
Yeah.
I think for, you know, the female artist, I really sought that out for something with edge. But, you know, the accessibility, you know, and I really loved like Live Through This or like Bricks Are Heavy by L7 or there were some other songs, you know, that like maybe crossed over on a few of those more grungier bands. Or noise bands from around that time.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see L7 on their like recent tours they've been doing?
No,
it was cool that they've been touring again.
So
that's
cool.
Very cool.
I've had a couple friends who've gone. I really wanted to see them. I did not have a chance. I think I was in the studio when they came here.
I think they'll be back.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they'll be back. And we'll go. We'll all go. Because
awesome.
I saw them in Jersey City. It was awesome.
Maybe they'll need an opener.
I'm sure they will. But great first pick to kick things off. Second one, Sonic Youth, Sister, Schizophrenia. Really powerful song, I think, that is written about Kim Deal's brother, mostly.
So I don't even know what it was written about. All I know is it was the very first Sonic Youth song that I ever heard from the VHS the year punk broke, 1991. And to me, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And like, it's like with that band, it's like, you know, all their songs might not be commercially accessible, but they like almost like make choruses out of their noise and stuff. But yeah, that was, you know, Sister was the first Song Youth record that I like really got introduced to. And when I was living in Hawaii, and I was, it was like a trip.
Yeah, it's definitely a trippy record that'll blow. Knock your socks off, definitely. And I said Kim Deal, I meant Kim Gordon, though, at the time. Because we were talking about the Breeders. I meant to say Kim Gordon, excuse me. But yeah, this record is awesome. I wish Sonic Youth was still together and not broken up.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that was so cool that they stayed around so long. But they're very influential bands to so many other like bands.
Yeah, for their 30 years, their longevity was really impressive.
Totally.
The distinct eras of their sound and, you know, their stuff in the early 90s too, which is more like a little more mainstream sounding. Totally. It's still really good.
They went with the times, which was really cool and developed too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got Schizophrenia by Sonic Youth. So next up, we've got the record Jamboree by Beat Happening, Indian Summer. Did you also find out about Beat Happening through Kurt Cobain? Because I feel like I did.
I totally did, like so many other people. And to me, I picked this song and this record because Calvin Johnson, to me, like his, you know, the way that the influence he had on that whole Northwest scene and the DIY mentality and ethics and, you know, releasing tapes. I'm like super stoked and grateful I got to open up for him a couple of years ago.
Cool.
And know him. And it to me, like he was like just a really, you know, influential and inspiring and really kind of a little bit ahead of his time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these tape labels now, I mean, if it wasn't for him, I don't think, you know, that would be so much of the culture. I picked that song because they were like, you know, before the burger and the lollipop and, you know, all these, you know, more lo-fi garage stuff. I mean, Beat Happening was that. Out of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I always really looked at Beat Happening. I thought they took like the minimalism of punk, but then applied it to different sounding songs, kind of.
Totally. Yeah, and, you know, too, like, Calvin's like a total complete artist. And yeah, just most of the people I think who have inspired me have been somewhat, you know, artists and business people, or, you know, just kind of think beyond just being, you know, just playing on stage and stuff.
Wonderful choices, Vanessa. We're going to play them now. Invisible Man by the Breeders, Schizophrenia by Sonic Youth, Indian Summer by Beat Happening. And we'll be back to wrap up the show.
Left behind, lost by
Breakfast in cemetery, boy tasting wild cherry, touch girl apple blossom, just a boy playing possum. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. What is that cheerful sound? Rain falling on the ground. We'll wear a jolly crown. Buckle up, we're wayward bound. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer and go a separate way. I touch your hem, you say, let's stroll down Martin Way. Pick plums, abandoned farm. Who let norms come to harm? We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer and go a separate ways. Cover me with rain. Walk me down the lane. I'll drink from your drain. We will never change, no matter what they rain. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer and go a separate way. Cemetery, picnic on wild berries, French toast with molasses, croquet and baked Alaskas. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. Cover me with rain.
Vanessa with the killer picks from my record collection. Again, you heard Invisible Man by The Breeders, Schizophrenia by Sonic Youth, Indian Summer by Beat Happening, and Ever Fallen in Love by The Buzzcocks. Vanessa, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Great selections. Sadly, we're coming to the end of the episode, but it was such a pleasure having you performing live. It was excellent. And so, just once again, when's your EP coming out?
It's coming out September 20th.
September 20th. And Vanessa's on Facebook, Vanessa Silberman.
Official.
Official. It's the official account, people. On Instagram as well. Same all thing. Social media is Vanessa Silberman. Official Twitter as well.
V's Silberman Music Twitter, the only exception.
Bandcamp. Is there stuff on Bandcamp for purchase, for digital download?
It is actually in the process of being up, but it's on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon.
Apple Music, all streaming services, and your next show, again, is?
September 20th with Shark Muffin, Adira Horse, and Christine Young at Modern Vice, and it's free.
Awesome. But RSVP on Facebook if there's a Facebook event, everyone.
Totally. And there's an Eventbrite event RSVP link as well. And you can RSVP and it'll give you the chance to win some free, amazing Modern Vice boots.
Ooh. Yeah. You guys can't go wrong there. Free boots. By the time it's September 20th, too, it'll almost be fall and winter.
Perfect
boot weather. So find it on Eventbrite, Facebook. Vanessa, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you on the program. We're going to end the show with the brand new single from Desert Sharks. They're going to be my guests next week. They also just dropped a music video for this song. It's called Dating with a question mark off of their album is coming out on September 27th on Substitute Scene Records. We'll see you next week, and they'll be here. This is Dating.